Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
We forget that there's a tremendous lack of love outside. And we forget that people are starving for love. They're hungering for it because they don't get it. They're not experiencing it. And we have this amazing opportunity to reach out in love and to share with people the love of God.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the book of Romans. Join us as Pastor Brian begins in Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21, in a message titled, Living Out Our Faith. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
Romans chapter 12, and we are picking up in verse 9. Beginning now in this ninth verse of the 12th chapter and running through the seventh verse of the 15th chapter, the Apostle Paul is giving instruction on living out our faith. So this is where he's getting to that, you know, rubber meets the road type of a thing, you know, just talking about living the Christian life. And what we're going to see in these verses as we go through these couple of chapters, that Christians are intended by God to be distinct. We are called to be different. And it's the difference that people are going to see in us that's going to have the impact on them, some for good and some for not so good. Paul talked about being the fragrance of death to some and the fragrance of life to others. Some people are going to see your different lifestyle, your godly lifestyle. They're going to see that you're living a holy life, and they're going to want that. They're going to say, man, I'm hungering for something authentic and real, and I want that. And others are going to look at it and say, I hate that. I despise that. I would just as soon you would vanish from the planet. We're just sick of your talk about holiness and righteousness and goodness. And so, you know, there will be different responses. But God has called us to a completely different lifestyle as his people. And that is to have an impact right in our own midst, and it's also to have an impact out beyond the four walls of the church, out into society. And so that's what Paul is going to launch into now here. And let me just say this. This is such a beautiful picture. And, you know, if we really take to heart the things that we're going to look at both now and as we go on through, you know, the remainder of these chapters, if we really take this stuff to heart and if we really seek the Lord and just say, Lord, you know, I want this to be a reality in my life, the impact is going to be so great. It just has that way of, you know, when God's people are living in harmony with each other, and they're loving each other, and we're ministering to one another, the grace of God and the love of God through the gifts of the Spirit and all that, it's just a beautiful thing. It's a powerful thing. And that's what we long for. That's what we want to see. The sad thing is that throughout the history of the church, you know, the church has much of the time been its own worst enemy. You know, you've heard the term of, you know, shooting yourself in the foot. You know, the church has successfully shot itself in the feet over and over again historically. So often, you know, the devil doesn't have to do a whole lot from the outside to attack the church, because so often in history, the church has, you know, just internally struggled and gone through difficulties and failed to live up to the standards of God's grace and failed to love and all of that. And that's so sad and tragic. It doesn't have to be that way. It shouldn't be that way. And we can't change church history. It is what it is. But we can do our part to try to make sure it doesn't get repeated, at least in our experience. And so if we take these things to heart, if we do them, if we apply them like we're intended to do, it's going to be a beautiful, beautiful thing. So here's what the apostle says. He says, let love be without hypocrisy. Or another translation is, have genuine love. Genuine love. That sounds simple enough, doesn't it? It sounds attractive. It is. It's very attractive. But sadly, many times there hasn't been that genuine love. It's been a love that has been laced with hypocrisy and not real sincere love. But we are called to have genuine love for each other, real love, authentic love. And I've said this before, but I'll say it again because I think it's important at this time that we really need to make sure we are just, you know, being real. And our love needs to be real. It needs to be genuine. And genuine love is simple. It's not necessarily flashy or extravagant. It's just simple. It's sincere. And it's powerful. The power of love is, it's amazing what love can do. And sometimes just an act of kindness, because your heart goes out in love to somebody. Just sometimes a kind word or a friendly gesture, or just a love that kind of just flows out from your life toward people. That is so powerful. Sometimes in the church, if we're in the church for a while, and you know we're surrounded a lot of times by people that we really do love, and they really love us, and we forget that there's a tremendous lack of love outside. And we forget that people are starving for love. They're hungering for it because they don't get it. They're not experiencing it. And we have this amazing opportunity to reach out in love and to share with people the love of God. Not merely our own love, or not, you know, simply a human love, but a love that is supernatural. The word here is the Greek word agape. It's the word that the biblical writers just sort of took it and adopted it because it seemed to be the best of the Greek words to describe the love that God has for us. And we often define it as unconditional love. And that's true, but it's not only unconditional love. It's just a deep love. It's an intense love. It's a passionate love. And so that's right at the top of the list. Let our love be genuine. Let it be without hypocrisy. We need to really, truly be loving one another. Then he says, abhor what is evil and cling to what is good.
We'll return to Pastor Brian's message in just a moment. But first, we'd like to remind you that you can connect with Pastor Brian anytime through all forms of social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also visit our website, backtobasicsradio.com, where you can download a podcast of today's message or stream it for free. So take a moment and go to our website and be sure to sign up for Pastor Brian's weekly devotional. Now, let's continue with today's message.
Abhor abhor what is evil or hate. It's the idea. It's intense. Abhor is even more intense than hate. But abhor what is evil. We are to have no tolerance for evil. But listen, we need to start with our own hearts. We need to start that abhorrence of evil in our own lives. A lot of times, you know, people will express an abhorrence for evil, but it's the evil that everybody else is doing. But they don't have that same attitude toward the evil that they're doing. And so they're, you know, quick to condemn and quick to judge and quick to say that, you know, these people or, you know, that person, and, you know, there's just this abhorrence, but it has to start right here. Because, if it starts in our own lives, then when it is expressed toward those other abhorrent things that we encounter in life and in the culture and so forth, we're going to react in the proper way. We got to start with ourselves. Not looking at the speck that's in our brother's eye, but, you know, making sure the beam is out of our own eye, and then we can see clearly to, you know, deal with the other person's situation. Abhorring evil, not tolerating it, not giving place for it, not making compromises in our own lives. You know, I was thinking how many times I have heard preachers even, you know, preaching against the evils of such and such a thing and you know, railing on those who would do those kinds of things. And then you find out that the guy's doing the same thing or something even worse. And obviously, there's no real abhorrence of evil there, is there? It's going to begin right here in my own life. I'm not going to give place to evil. I'm not going to tolerate evil. I want to have a holy hatred for the things that are evil. And then he says, clinging to what is good. Clinging to what is good. Holding tight to what is good. And you know, we've got to hold tight to what is good because there's always efforts to pry it away from us. The devil's working overtime to, you know, get us to move away from good into evil. And he uses people and he uses various forms of temptation. So we are to cling to the good. We're to hold fast to the good. You know, we live in a time, as you know, we live in a time when in the, you know, certain segments of the culture and very influential segments of the culture, evil is good and good is evil. That's where we're at today. But we're not the first people that have been there. Israel was there. Read the prophets. That's exactly what God said was happening in Israel and Judah during the time when the prophets were prophesying. They stated those things very clearly, that the people had come to the point where they thought that good was evil and evil was good. And as history is cyclical, we just, you know, keep kind of going around the same cycle over and over again. Here we are in our culture today. Evil is good and good is evil. So, and isn't it true among some people? If you think that marriage, which has from the very beginning of time been the relationship reserved for a man and a woman, if you think that that is the way it should be, then you are considered by many as evil. That's an evil thing. It's a good thing if you embrace a doing away of that idea that it's just something for a man and a woman to experience. But anybody who wants to marry anyone, same sex, what does it matter? So that's where we're at. And again, I don't have to belabor the point. You see it all around you. So we got to cling to the good because they're doing their best to stamp it out in our generation. So abhorring what is evil, clinging to what is good. And then he says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Now, as we go through these things right here, just think about these things, because this is what the apostle is telling us to do. This is how we're to live with each other as God's people. And here where it says to be kindly affectionate to one another. You know, I found out something today. I didn't know this. The word kind originated from the word kin or kindred. And it has to do with family affection. And the Greek word that is used here means exactly that. It means that we are to have a family affection toward one another. And he then adds brotherly love. Two similar words. They're different, but they're similar because they both are expressing the same thing. We are a family. As God's people, we are a family. We have one Father. We have one Lord Jesus Christ who has brought us into the family. And we are all brothers and sisters. And so we're to have that family affection. Now, I know for some people, that's when they hear family affection, it's a very warm and wonderful sensation. Other people, they don't even know anything about family affection because their family was so messed up. Their family was so dysfunctional. There was no such thing as any real family affection. And that's sad. And that's unfortunate. But here's the good news. You're in a new family. You're in God's family now. And even if you didn't experience those kind of affections in your earthly family, the Lord has plenty of love and affection that he wants to lavish upon you as part of his family. And he's going to do that through his own presence, through the Holy Spirit being poured out in our hearts, as we're told, and also as we reach out and love and minister to one another. So this is the picture. Kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. Now, I know that, you know, there's sibling rivalry in families and there's competition and things like that. But, you know, there's also, in the best situations, there's also an affection between siblings that allows them to prefer one another just simply because of the love that they have for each other. I was thinking about my daughters. My daughters are, they very much love each other, and they're always looking to, you know, promote the other one. If my oldest daughter, if my daughters are together, for example, and my oldest daughter is told, you know, how beautiful she is or something like that, my youngest daughter just chimes in, oh yes, isn't she beautiful? She is the most beautiful woman in the world, you know? She has no problem. She doesn't say, well, how come you didn't say I'm beautiful? I mean, come on, you know, I'm here too. Why don't you give me a compliment? She's very happy to just, you know, lavish that love on her sister. She just loves her sister in that way. And that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about in honor, giving preference to one another. So, you know, when another one is blessed or another one is honored or another one is maybe exalted or acknowledged or recognized, we don't look at that and go, man, I should have been up there getting the recognition. You know, what's with them? No, we look on and we say, praise the Lord, that is great. That's wonderful that my brother, that my sister is being honored in this way right now. You know, pastors really battle with this stuff. You know, they really battle with the church down the street getting more people coming than their church. And it's hard for pastors to look on at God blessing something else and say, oh, that's wonderful. You know, a lot of times they're in their heart, they're saying, why is that guy getting blessed? You know, if people knew about him what I know about him, they wouldn't be thinking he's so great. You know, I could tell a thing or two about that guy, you know. People ought to be coming over here. Look, this is reality. This happens all the time. This is just the way it is. But it shouldn't be that way. No, we should be able to look on and say, praise the Lord. Thank God for what he's doing. You know, I can tell you a little personal story about that right now. You know, I've been ministering in Britain for a long time now. And you know, God has blessed the ministry that we still are involved in over there. And, you know, it's wonderful. But there's one guy who in just the past few years has gone over to the UK and he's, you know, kind of gotten a platform. And, you know, they invite him to speak at these things where there's thousands of people and he's addressing, you know, all these different groups. And you know, for a moment, I was tempted to get jealous of him. I really was thinking, wait, you know, why does he get to do this stuff? Lord, I've been investing in this for years. And they're not calling me to ask me to speak at these things. And this little temptation, you know, was coming at me to get kind of jealous. And thank God, by his grace, I recognized that, wait, this is the enemy, you know? And I was able to just say, thank you, Lord, for what you're doing with this guy. Somebody needs to do it. He's probably doing a better job than I would do anyway. So I'm just going to rejoice and I'm going to praise you for the way that you're using him. And I just pray that, you know, through him, you'll do a great thing. And you're doing things through me. I'm happy with that. And I want to thank you for what you're doing with him. But this is the stuff that we struggle with in real life, isn't it? And God knows this stuff. We can't pretend like it's not there. Oh, Pastor Brian, you felt like that? Boy, you must be a real sinner. I've never felt that way. Now you're lying because you know. You have. You know you have. We all feel that way. That's just human nature. It's just the way we are. That's why we need the grace of God. That's why we need the help of the Lord. That's why we need to take these things to heart and just be able to say, Jesus, help me. Help me to have that brotherly love. Help me to have that ability to give preference to others. In verse 11, he says, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So what Paul's saying here is that we are to have zeal and passion in our service to the Lord. Man, we're to be fired up. Obviously, we don't want to, you know, do something fake. We all have different personalities. And so, you know, one person's fired up is going to look different than somebody else's. But the point is, we're called to have a zeal for the things of God. And we're called to have a passion. You know, when you're passionate about something, you know, you have an intensity for it. You have as the text here says, there's a fervor. You're fervent in spirit. It means you're passionate about this thing. And you know, when somebody's passionate about something, they get expressive. Even the most subdued personalities, when they're you get them on that thing that they're passionate about, and you start seeing, oh wow, there's something going on here. Even this mellow guy is really intense about this thing. And as we serve the Lord, we are to serve him zealously and passionately. We're not to serve him half-heartedly.
Here's a few words from Pastor Brian and his wife Cheryl about this month's Back to Basics resource.
We had Christopher Ewan and his mother and father here at Calvary Chapel on this Sunday morning. It was so well received.
It was amazing. Christopher Ewan is a professor of Bible at Moody Bible Institute, and yet his story of coming to Christ is absolutely amazing.
And what's the name of his book?
The name of the book is Out of a Far Country, and it is subtitled A Gay Son's Journey to God, A Broken Mother's Search for Hope. And it's really the story of this family who are essentially atheist, but eventually they all come to faith in Jesus. And it is riveting. It is such a powerful, powerful story. And especially if you have friends, family members, or you're in contact with people and, you know, struggling with or questions about the homosexual lifestyle and all of that. This is a superb book written from somebody who is on the inside of the whole gay movement and yet has now come to know Christ in a powerful way. So highly recommend that you pick up Out of a Far Country.
Thank you, Pastor Brian and Cheryl, for sharing about this month's resource. You can order the book, Out of a Far Country, A Gay Son's Journey to God and A Broken Mother's Search for Hope, by going to our website, backtobasicsradio.com. Scroll down until you see the photo of the book, Out of a Far Country, and then click on the Donate button. When you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you this book by Christopher and Angela Ewan. We appreciate your generous support to this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll return tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Romans. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.